As a business owner, it's important to keep your business connected. Spectrum Business is committed to keeping your business online whenever and wherever you need us, all backed by the Spectrum Commitment. Get fast, reliable internet starting at $40 per month when bundled, or level up your internet speed and get a 3-year price guarantee. Learn how Spectrum Business can help your business stay connected at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
If you've been struggling with your weight, Mochi Health is here to help. Mochi Health is a long-term weight loss solution personalized to fit your unique needs and goals. Meet one-on-one with board-certified obesity doctors and registered dietitians who are on a mission to listen. Eligible patients can access custom-formulated GLP-1 medications at an affordable set price and get them delivered to their home each month. Take our free quiz at joinmochi.com and use code AUDIO40 at checkout for $40 off your first month of membership.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Nerd Talk, talking about Nerd Talk, yeah!
Hey, welcome to Nerd Talk Plus. We back! Our weekly deeper dive into the stories that make this world nerdier. From Odyssey's Nerd Talk, I'm your host, Gregor. And like a spider once dead last week, we've reanimated his corpse. He's Necrobot Brandon from the internet.
And I do this for free. Yeah, thank you. I don't want that to go missed. It's funny. You called me like a dead little spider, and yeah. I did wake up this morning with my arms like curled in like this because I'm going on a big bike trip in a few weeks here, and yeah. Or actually no, in a week.
Ooh.
And I've done. Absolutely. Well, what I did was I had a baby 7 months ago and gained 15 pounds since then. Sorry, my wife had a baby. And then I was like at the doctor, and the doctor was like, hey, when's the last time you got a physical? And I was like, psh, I on purpose, like 3 years ago.
Listen, buddy, the last time I got physical, hey, oh.
It's like, wow, personal. Also, it's 3 years ago. No.
So did you offer him?
The last time I got a physical, she was like, okay, well, you know, if you haven't gotten your weight taken by a professional, go ahead and hop up on the scale. I was like, psh, okay. And I hopped up and I went, holy crap.
You didn't strip off your clothes, did you?
No, but I did that when I got home and it wasn't different enough to matter.
So I'm one of these people that is obsessed with not letting myself go too bad. I have like an ultimate endpoint that I can't break. And so I weigh myself every single day. Every single day.
Yeah.
And now I'm on this crazy diet a nutrition plan. My wife is trying to get me to not say diet in front of our kids so we don't like mess with his head, which I think is smart.
Yeah.
And my nutrition plan is that I don't snack and I don't eat cheese, sugar, bread, grains, and the half of the fruit.
Yeah.
And it is working like crazy, and I only felt terrible for 10 straight days.
Oh.
And now
and now here's day 11.
No, but to the people that are not sponsoring this, so I'll just say to Dr. Ryan, that's it's going great. But it was you realize what a terrible job you do taking care of the one body you have when it's time to make changes. And so
I've been trying to one of the things about cycling is that
you get spider arms.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you get spider arms. You have to carry around your weight with you, and like the less weight that you have to carry around, the more efficient and lighter your moving is going to be, right?
I feel the same way about the stairs. Uh-huh.
Exactly. And so I've been trying to like work out, drop some pounds before I get on the bike. And anyway, long story short, my muscles were very, very tight and I woke up like a dead spider this morning.
We'll find out why that happens here in just moments. Neither of us is a scientist, engineer, or supervillain.
Not yet.
But if you are, let us know what we get wrong. But more importantly, if we were to get anything right. And that includes you, Brandon's brother, Steven.
Also, he went for a bike ride. Speaking of bike rides, and my brother, Steven.
He went for more than a bike ride.
Oh, he went for like a Superman flight through Vashon Island. It was very, I was really worried for him. And he's fine, though. So Yeah, I was here. He sent me a video. And I watched the video and was really worried, and then he told me it was fine, so I started laughing at him.
Yeah, it was that was brutal. Anyway, if you could tell a friend or write a review or just spread the good, not the good word, if you could spread the word about this podcast and show here, perhaps you could just holler at us with your answer to this episode's question of the week.
Yeah, this episode's question of the week, speaking of dead spiders, which animal, I guess a spider is not an animal, but which animal would you like to control with your mind?
It's an animal, right?
I mean, it's an insect. Is that like within
it's
the animal arachnid. Kingdom? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, it's not even an insect. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Huh. Okay.
This week, so, neither of us is a scientist, engineer, or somebody who knows what spiders are.
Well, I mean, better than last time when we didn't know what root beer was. So that's good.
Hopefully it's not spiders.
Just ground up and made it. That's yeah. The hydraulic juice inside their joints is what makes root beer. Spider juice. In a battle between humans and machines, I should say the battle between the two, we have the first move by the machines. A robot in Russia apparently grabbed and broke the finger of his opponent, a 7-year-old chess-playing child. This is tragic. It's not exactly the robot's fault, okay? The child broke safety protocols by moving too quickly for the machine. But as we know, the machine's gotta have better than that. You can't say it's the way his finger was dressed, you know? That's not the... The Guardian reports that the Moscow Chess Federation had added that this is, of course, bad. Well, thank you, Moscow Chess Federation. I guess if there was any doubt in our minds, you have now put that to rest. Sounds like something a robot would say, though, to keep us on the hook longer. Guess we found our resistance leader, because there's no way that kid isn't now set for a lifetime of not trusting the machines.
We always think, as humans, we always go to like the dramatic storytelling, right? So like when you watch The Terminator, the kid grows up because the robots killed his mom, right? And yeah. He had to avenge her and lead the resistance against them. Now, this kid, of course, because it's real life, and when you fall into a radioactive pit, you don't become a superhero, you get cancer. This kid, instead of having to watch his entire family die in a nuclear explosion caused by robotic takeover, he just had to have his pinky broken by a chess-playing robot. You know, the worst part about this story, to me, is not that... It's like, obviously the robots are going to attack us, and this robot, the reason he decided to break, you could watch the video. I could, as somebody who hates gory stuff, I could watch the video because it's like from behind the kid. You don't see what's going on. Now, the worst part about the story for me is not that the robot did this because the kid skipped the robot's turn and the robot was like, oh, hey, don't do that. Bam. It's like a very petty.
Stop. It is still my turn.
I would hate to play Monopoly with that robot because that is one emotional robot. No, it's that the so there's this quote in an article from the Indian Express from somebody who is working for this chess robot. It's a chess robot finger-breaking apologist. He says, it was enough to follow an elementary rule, to take turns making moves. I don't know, but for what reason, the boy extended his hand during the robot's move. In my memory, this has never happened before. Moreover, the robot only pressed his finger. If it had not been extended, there would have been nothing that happened at all. He's like, well, it's the kid's fault for trying to take a turn out of place.
Has this person never met a 7-year-old before? Because if there's one thing that they're not masters of their domain yet, it's like,
Well, it's like, it's asking this robot to assume that humans are going to compete or do things with the same logic as robots. It's like, well, I will of course wait my turn because that is the thing that you're supposed to do. But humans are humans, and like this human should not jaywalk. Bang, you're dead.
Says the robot dog with the thing strapped to his back.
Right.
For me, wasn't it Asimov who came up with like the three robotics laws?
Yes,
and the first one is you can't hurt the humans, and so like ultimately, and then it becomes another issue, like if I own the self-driving car that runs over the, you know, preschool teacher in the crosswalk or whatever, like, is that my responsibility or the car maker's responsibility for having made, or how is that responsibility divvied up amongst us? And so it becomes
if it's
stuff
anything,
like that. Yeah.
If it's anything like the guns, it's definitely your responsibility.
Over the weekend, the rocket body of another of China's latest space launches came splashing down into the Indian Ocean. another sort of like flagrant robotic middle finger to the humans as they sent their last piece of a new space station into orbit. Now, listen, there's got to be some sort of planning, and there's got to be, we're playing an ultimate game of telephone here where we don't actually have firsthand knowledge of what the Chinese Space Administration is up to. But it does seem pretty weird that they can't give you a definitive, like, it's going to hit here, it'll be okay, when every other space agency on Earth is, like, tracking that to make sure. Except for I saw a little headline, I didn't get into it. Forgive me, about SpaceX parts showing up on land up north somewhere, like, for the third time, and, like, they have some questions to answer, whatever. Anyway, it's so they again, have just let this giant booster engine come falling back through the atmosphere, being like, it's fine, don't worry, you won't get crushed. And I'm just thinking that maybe this is the last time they do it, because they're installing sweet lasers on the space station to choo-choo-choo-choo-choo and shoot these things down after they undock or whatever. I guess it's not docking, after they're done with their flight up, but there's no way to be sure. It's also much worse than raining tacos, like the song, it's raining tacos. Are you familiar with that song?
Yeah. No,
actually,
I'm not.
Maybe it's... I mean, you get the gist, though, right?
Yeah, I mean, you're saying the part that matters. So.
Yeah. Communicating science effectively. At first, I was like, oh, this is way worse than raining tacos. Then I was like, I don't know. It would be pretty terrible to just have, like, piles of tacos rotting away on the street. You know, like, if you, like, you're like, I'm going to get a fruit tree, and this is going to be so cool, and then, like, there's 1,000 peaches on your ground, or apples in the state of Washington, and squirrels just end up drunk in your backyard on rotting apples or whatever. Like,
I have it.
Sounds pretty cool too.
I have it. Well, drunk squirrels, absolutely. I have a apple
send them
tree
to space.
And a plum tree in my backyard. I live in Eastern Washington, and they grow great.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, one of the problems is, like, early in the season, all the tiny apples that aren't going to become mature apples just end up all over the ground. When we first moved in, we had to, like, shovel out a bunch of these and put them in the compost, which ended up just smelling like straight vinegar, just nasty, decomposed. So, yeah, this is
and
like...
And a hangover.
Yeah. the point about raining tacos, though, I mean, I'm assuming you've never seen it because you've never seen any movie. Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, which is also a kid's book, if you wanted to read it instead.
Yeah.
Like, one of the entire premises is that they create, it gets to rain all of people's favorite foods, but they don't know how to deal with the fact that the food rots eventually. Which, if we're drawing an analogy to the Chinese Space Organization, is say, don't create raining food if you don't know how to deal with the rotting food later on, aka don't send a rocket to space if you don't know where the dang thing's gonna land. Because yes, maybe 77% of the Earth's well, who knows now with climate change, maybe a good portion of the Earth is still covered with water, and that isn't covered with water is still like desert or mountain and uninhabitable, or uninhabited to say, but like, let's just maybe not risk it, right?
Yeah,
like I remember I mean, this was very different and tragic, but like when the Columbia shuttle
that was terrible.
Blew up, right? But there was like stuff raining down over people's neighborhoods from that shuttle explosion. And it was terrible, and it was very sad, and it was scary, and those were tiny pieces. But it's like, it doesn't matter how big the piece is if it's falling from space onto your house or onto your head or into New York City or wherever it could possibly land, right? I don't know. I feel like maybe China isn't telling the NASA or whoever they need to tell, because they don't freaking know where it's going to land. They just hope it's
or,
in the ocean.
Or maybe they're hiding something. Like, they don't want us to know about it. So
that too. Where is it going to land? Why do you want to know? So it doesn't hit us, but also so we can go pick it up in the ocean and see what you're sending up there.
Don't worry about it. Here, we made you a new iPhone. Oh.
Oh, sweet. Thank you. Yes.
Now... here's the thing, though. If you were to get smushed by a falling rocket body, like, it sucks whenever you go out, but it's a pretty cool way to go out. Like, on your tombstone, like, there's a hell of a message there. Like, just maybe just a picture of a rocket body falling and then your name underneath it, and it's like...
we talked a couple of weeks ago about, like how would you want to be memorialized? Like, would you like a park bench named after you? We talked about, was it Yuri, what's-his-face, the
Gagarin?
Russian cosmonaut? Yeah, Igor Gagarin, who is he has that sweet, like, Art Deco statue made of him. Like, if I get smashed by a piece of falling rocket debris, I want it to just be me, like, like, my arms up and, like, looking terrified with an actual spaceship falling down on me. And I want every time you walk past it, it's like one of those Billy Bass on the walls where instead of singing Don't Worry, Get Happy, it's me just going, ah!
I want it connected to my smart speaker, though, so when it talks, it you scream in horror.
Yeah.
Now, and back to that, we were talking about what you would want to have named after you in memoriam or whatever it is. Listener Sean reached out to say, in regard to your question of the week on Nerd Talk Plus, having a Navy ship named after you. He's a former sailor, and it's just about the most badass thing if you can get a destroyer or something. Two guys I served with who didn't make it home, one I knew well, have Arleigh Burke-class destroyers named for them. It never fails to get me a little choked up when I think about it. That is, other than our nonsense most of the time, that's a great example of the for your loved ones, that the survivors, to be able to look at that with pride, to be able to see something like that. I think that's really cool. Thank you, Sean, for doing what we ask and reaching out to us and saying what's up. That's a really good example.
Yeah, that's pretty amazing. Like, and not to trivialize it at all,
of course,
Sean's thing, but like, man, having a dinghy named after you, or like in the future when like we send big spaceships into space, because that's what the types of ships that they are. Spaceships in the space. When we spend these ships up and they're all built with a bunch of escape capsules, like we're gonna have so many opportunities to get things named after people.
Or you can spend through generous donation and have an emergency exit named after you, like I did in Seattle. So there you go.
Better. Also, emergency exit, escape shuttle, kind of the same thing.
Same thing, Brandon. It's the same thing. All right, that brings us back around to our question of the week.
Yes, our question of the week is, which animal do you wish you could control with your mind? Now, the reason I ask this, other than the story, which we will get to, is if you ever played Dungeons & Dragons or a familiar game.
Yeah, it's making a huge comeback. There's a big resurgence right now.
Yeah. So one of the spells that you can use is to control a familiar or an animal that accompanies you. And you can control it with your mind. And I got to thinking about, like, you know, obviously in games like this where you're fighting, you know, demons and trolls and all sorts of enemies, a lot of people like to use bears and stuff, which I'm like, okay, practical use. Would I want to control a bear with my mind in real life? I don't know.
Scientists are reanimating the bodies of dead spiders. A little different.
Not what I would have chosen.
And using them as claw grabbers, like from The Machine at the arcade where you get the stuffed animal and then it drags it over. It's almost oddly just like that. Or like, I don't know. I think probably for like surgery or something like that, they'll reach in and they'll grab stuff and pull it out, or they'll use it like if a screw falls into the chamber in your car or something like that. Chamber. You can tell I've worked on a lot of cars before. You know the
you know pod, the car chamber.
You know the tube.
Yeah.
So what they've done, the field is called necrobotics, when they study the corpses of the dead to not only understand how they work, but then to also repurpose them. And I'm trying to think of like maybe another example of this where it would make sense. But perhaps at some point you've noticed that when you find a dead spider or a sleeping Brandon, they're in a little ball with their legs tucked under. They're all shriveled up, right? Well, researchers realize that we always find them like that because their legs work like little hydraulics with fluid going in and making them expand and then coming out and contract. So they took a syringe, poked into the dead spider lady, and started pumping air in to make the body expand and taking the... Wait, hold on. Don't we already have this technology? Like, what's the point picking up a crouton with a spider body? This kind of sucks.
We found out that they have hydraulics in their legs, which we've already invented, but we're still going to do some weird stuff and call it necrobotics to make us sound legit. It's like, we have the claw grabber. Just add, let's see, 5 more claws if you want it to look like a spider.
Now you got to get them to move independently is the only other thing. I don't even know if spider legs move independently from one another or if they're on like a track, like in terms of like if the front right goes and the back second goes, or what is it? Like, how are they seriesed and can they control them all at the same time? This is amazing. So I get it, kind of. But it is
kind of
pretty weird to see somebody with like an air syringe with a spider, dead spider on the end of it. And they're like, spider push-ups. Ha ha, look at me. Ah. It's like, I suppose it could be cool for like space, where you'd be working with a like a you could if you could supersize these things and make a big body, and you could go down and pick up a part of the asteroid that you were mining from afar, from back on Earth, yeah. and have it pick up a giant rock or something like that, and know that you could control the little spider fingers or legs more independently. Or maybe they're making spider robots to fight in the next mecha war. I don't know.
Yeah, that it seems more like that one, given that maybe this spider won't break your finger. It seems like maybe they're
strap
just
a machine
gonna
gun to its back.
they're going to skip the middleman and they're going to start doing surgery and pulling, you know, surgical tissue or cloth out of the wound, and it's just going to actually be a dead spider that they're using to do it. Just like,
I mean,
absolutely
think about
nasty.
The waste. Yeah, like, you'd save on a ton of.
We're recycling. What are you recycling? Dead spiders and their legs.
You gonna eat that spider body, or can I use it?
Speaking of weird, okay, animal bug legs. Okay, so spiders. Okay. Obviously, we find out that they have the fluid in the legs that basically hydraulics, yeah. which we've already invented. I still don't see why we're doing this. So there was recently where I live a huge, and I mean huge, swarm of ladybugs flying through our neighborhood, landing all over our house. Like, I'm talking hundreds of thousands of these things flying through the air.
I recently learned that in England they call them ladybirds.
Ladybirds?
Yeah, it's clearly an insect, though. It's not a bird, you idiots. What's wrong with England?
I've already given up on trying to say what is or what is not an insect today, so I'm going to take your word for it on that one.
Wait, is a ladybug a bird?
Well, question of the week. Are ladybugs root beer? So I learned something about, so obviously I like take to Google immediately to start figuring out why are these ladybugs swarming. We've had a lot of rain, so I'm assuming there's a lot of aphids. Ladybugs eat aphids, so I'm assuming like with a massive surge in like the food supply, it's made it easier for these ladybugs / birds / ladybugs aren't real. To reproduce and there's an ample food source, right? Well, I learned about this thing called it's a version of aposematic coloration. So it's a thing that bugs and other animals do to signal their toxicity to would-be predators. So I know most people, maybe not these people who are doing.
So there I am. I've eaten seven handfuls of ladybugs, and I don't feel so good.
Ladybugs, the way that ladybugs do this is that they literally start bleeding from their knees.
That's not on my diet.
There's one quick way to lose weight. But they can, like, just... like out of nowhere. So most people try not to kill ladybugs. I don't know about you, but they're just a beetle, right? They're just like any other beetle. But anytime one lands on me or lands near me, I try hard to be like, okay, let's get this gross bug, just like all of the other bugs. But let's get this one to safety while I try to swat or kill all of the other ones, right? I've always tried to take care of ladybugs. But then I learned that their knees start bleeding on you because they're a little scared of the fact that you're handling them. And I'm like, you know, I'm still not going to swat it, but I'm thinking about it a little bit more nowadays.
It's sort of like what a vegetarian vampire sounds like. I know that bugs are like animals, but like, I'm going to suck the blood out of the ladybug knees.
Out of its knee. It's so weird.
I learned recently that ladybugs will live more than a year. They're not just an annual thing that come out of the ground and... that they will be back next year and continue to grow and thrive as long as you don't smush them or they don't get hit by a rocket body or something from China.
Okay, all right. They will not hurt you. So the reason I ended up looking this up to see what was going on, because I was trying to see if ladybugs sting. And I knew that they didn't have a stinger, but during this swarm, they were landing on me and I would feel these pinches and stuff. And it turns out they bite when they get stressed out. It can't hurt you. There's no venom. It's not going to like leave a itchy spot like it would if you were bitten by a mosquito or stung by a bee or something like that. But they can cause issues because when they get stressed, they secrete blood from the joints in their legs. It's a process called reflex bleeding. Now, I'm just trying to think of how this would translate to humans, right? Like, imagine if you were... in a stressful situation, an argument with somebody, and instead of like your heart rate going higher and higher and higher, or instead of you getting upset or anxious, you just started bleeding from your joints.
I mean, I feel like my knees hurt bad enough as it is. I don't need to lose any more fluid.
Sorry, I'm nervous. I suffer from a condition called knee reflex bleeding.
Like you got like pit stains when you get like too nervous or whatever in your dress shirt, but it's just like crazy. You're just like turning copper from all of your pores or all of your joints. You go to shake hands with somebody and it's just like your knuckles are covered in ladybug blood.
Question of the
week. This is the worst superhero ever.
Question of the week. Which joint would you bleed from if you were nervous?
Yeah, it's like, I don't know if you've seen the latest offerings from Marvel and Generation 7 of the multiverse or whatever it's called. You know, they have all this, and like, I don't recognize any of it now. It's like, the stapler people, we're going to solve crime by stamping it out. You're under arrest. Ka-chunk. Like, they've gotten so far down. Like, have they overlooked a potentially really easy one in the ladybug? Like, I've got you now. Like, not if I secrete.
This might not surprise you. It might surprise you. So in college, I worked for a student magazine, and I was tasked with writing an article about the Bellingham Comic Con, and I ended up writing a story about this comic that I think ended up going nowhere. It was a self-published comic writer and cartoonist in Bellingham. It's honestly some of the most interesting superhero characters I've ever heard of, because they were all like superheroes that had one flaw that made their superpower worthless. So it was like,
I'm all about this. Yeah. This is if you teleport and you accidentally poop your pants. Yeah.
It's right. like every time you teleport, you also poop your pants. My favorite example was this character that he had that had extreme speed. He had super speed, but average reflexes. So he could run super, super fast, but could not react to the things so that were in front of him. Yeah, exactly. It was like, okay, I can run really, really fast, but I have to be able to dodge the things that are going to be in my way as I go. So I always thought that was really interesting. So it's like you're a superhero, except you bleed from your knees every time you're nervous.
You could not be stealthy. On that speedrunning one, you'd have to run tons of like short distances of like 2 feet at a time to make sure that you could like reset every time. Yeah. That would be terrible.
Yeah. Or it's like hyperspace. You just have to run in a straight line, but before you do it, you have to calculate to make sure that there's nothing in front of you.
Am I going to clear the gravity? Okay, let's go. Then again, some jerk sticks out a leg and you're done for. Yeah.
So all right. You have a...
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
This season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line, plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change, max one offer per account.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.
You have a story in here this week about David Attenborough that I really would like to get to.
Oh, absolutely. The oldest known fossil of a predator on Earth, and not like the ones from the films with the, you know, and the cloaking device.
And David Attenborough is not the oldest known predator on Earth either.
I'm just glad that when I saw that it was the oldest known predator, it wasn't Chris Hansen, because that would be that he didn't get... A sea creature thought to use its tentacles to capture prey dates back 20 million years older than anything else we've known. You could read the story again at The Guardian. They don't say how old that is, and I was thinking about it. Like, I know the dinosaurs went extinct like 75 million years ago, and 250 million years ago is kind of like the other end of the dinosaurs, and so it's got to be somewhere around then, but I don't know for sure. We'll have to look that up. If you're an expert on this, please chime in. Yeah, so it's like 20 million years older than anything we know. Thought to exist long before life on land really got cooking, which I think is interesting. The creature will be known as Aurora Lumina Attenboroughi. I think that's such an amazing honor. And then I read on a little bit further, and he already has 40 other creatures named for him. And I'm like, come on! I've already named 17 space escape pods after him. It's okay.
I mean, imagine having such an impact on the natural world like David Attenborough has. That everybody just wants to name everything after you. But like, do you think that you get to a point as David Attenborough where they're like, we're going to name this like incredible discovery, this 75 million year old dung beetle that only exclusively ate its own poop, David Attenborough? And he's like, well, maybe not though. Let's not do that.
This like jellyfish thing wasn't a predator. Like it ate other things. Yeah. It just like did a lot of tentacle molesting. It was like that type of predator. Like, no, we should have named it after Chris Hansen. Not that Chris Hansen does that. No offense to Chris Hansen.
No.
It's just, he did the show, The Catch a Predator.
He did the show. Thank you. Yeah. But like, speaking of David Attenborough though, like, so that dude's old at this point, and he's not, you know, think about when he started his career, he was the in front of camera guy that would do the documentaries and go to the places and talk about the animals. And now at his age, it's just kind of the narration and the voiceovers and things like that. Do you feel like there's a natural two-part question? A, do you feel like there's a natural replacement for somebody like him for when he decides to either retire or kick the bucket and have the million things named after him? Or do you think that we just go like Star Wars on it, where we just take the, you know, the digital amalgamation of all of the things that he's ever said and like never let David Attenborough go away because he's one of a kind?
You're close. First, you get a big syringe and you poke it into his back, and then you start pumping air in and out. And we've got Weekend at Edinburgh's.
Oh, okay. Perfect. Yes.
Perfect. I've got this all sorted out, Brandon. Don't you worry.
And as soon as they figure out how to do the vocal cords on him, we are set.
Well, that's why I said you're close, because we'll do the AI to do the speech, and then we'll make him into a marionette with our syringe, and he'll...
Okay, I know you've never seen any movie. Have you seen Men in Black?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. For some reason, all I can picture is the main
Edgar
character,
suit?
The Edgar suit, right? Like that's what it would look like.
Sugar, sugar. Not bad, huh? Not bad for just
that was really
that
good.
Out of nowhere. Yeah, yeah.
The Tasmanian devil is endangered.
The ant eaters come back because they need more ants.
Isn't nature beautiful?
All right. Well, every week I'd like to try something new, Brandon. I'd like to try and end on a positive. And sometimes it's hard because we just talk about, I don't know, necrobotic robots and then strapping machine guns to them and then space fighting and all that, right? But today, let's try for something positive. More than 250,000 pounds of plastic and ocean trash has been scooped up from the Great Pacific Garbage Patch by nonprofit group The Ocean Cleanup. They've been working on it different iterations for years now, and that's really incredible. I remember reading that the patch is the size of, like, Texas, and that they've already scoured a Rhode Island's worth of sea for bigger plastic particles. The small stuff, we're still going to have to figure out the microplastics, but this is a huge headway. Now, if we could just do the same on land, but with the actual state of Texas. Of course, I wonder... NASA to be okay, all right? Like Houston, yeah. We're going to write you a pass, but you got to behave.
Houston Astros, though, you're gone. I would love to, this is probably very easy for me to do, but like Google the size of Rhode Island overlaid onto Texas. Cause to me that sounds like, look, I am like applaud the Ocean Cleanup for doing this because incredible to get all of the, unless they're just picking up all of the plastic and being like, all right, well, here's Rhode Island, like dumping it on Rhode Island. It's got to go somewhere.
Perhaps you've taken my joke and made it relevant. We could just put the trash onto Texas.
Onto Texas, perfect. And then just make sure that all of the rocket bits land there, right? In the Earth's trash can.
And, hey, why don't we have those rocket parts coming from space go over Texas so people could shoot at them?
Perfect.
Who
needs to build the lasers?
This is great. We're gonna go back and we're kind of are regressing right now, so that's pretty cool.
Yeah,
it's my big concern is when they, like you say, on a serious note, when they get all this stuff, this is information that is readily available, when they get all this stuff, do they just bring it back and be like, okay, out of the ocean and into the river? Or like, what is it like?
They gotta stay in business because it eventually come up back into the ocean, so they gotta go pick it up again.
Are they just like mowed out? That's why they're mowing down like the Amazon rainforest, because they need to find a place to put the ocean stuff. Yeah. So it takes a lot of steps, and I don't like to second guess these things because progress is just a little bit at a time. And if
you
got
to start somewhere,
a tenth of the state of Texas cleaned up already, it does give me hope that there are humans that will leverage their gazillions of dollars into making this possible for the naming rights to the ocean. Welcome to the Bill Gates Ocean.
Oh, man, Pacific was boring anyway. I wonder if I'm assuming what will happen is that they will go and they will take all of that plastic and they will turn it into recycled goods, like soccer jerseys, like they do in Major League Soccer every year. Mm-hmm. Or rocket bodies. Or they'll do the thing that I love to see is maybe they'll cut down the rainforest. Okay, good with that. We saved the ocean. We only need one. they cut down all those trees. And then they do that thing like they do in Eastern Washington where they try to hide the cell towers by making them look like trees. So they're just gonna use all of that plastic and make big trees in the Amazon. No, we didn't cut it down. Here's the trees.
There's just like a drone owl that just keeps flying into a tree and bonking into it because its programming is off. Clash.
Show me child's finger. Where is it?
Well, that brings us to the end of another very heady show. It's time once again to ask, what did we learn this week? Brandon, did you learn anything good this week?
I learned that I do a terrible David Attenborough stuffed inside an Edgar suit impersonation.
Oh, I didn't realize it had to be Attenborough, because then it could have been. I was going to say, I learned that I do a pretty good one, but it wasn't British enough. So,
Gregor, what did you learn this week?
I learned that you can just stick syringes into the back of things and control them as your robot pets.
I mean, that seems useful.
I guess. And yourself, you learned anything else?
No. Nope, okay. I didn't. Yeah.
Well, I learned that licorice is just spider guts, and that spider guts are just ladybug joints. Nerd talk, talking about nerd talk, yeah! Join us next Tuesday for another live Nerd Talk Plus, and then, of course, you can always download the podcast from the Odyssey app. Both are available. The brand new Odyssey app, available for an update today in the app store of your choice. We're making changes, but don't worry, it won't freak you out, because it's basically the same for now. We'll start introducing new things to even improve the user experience further, like more Nerd Talk Plus. Subscribe on your favorite podcast provider or the Odyssey app, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye, Brandon.
And bye. I think that's an improvement.
Yeah. Yeah.
Today's podcast is sponsored by Midi Health. At any given time, 61% of adult women say they want to lose weight. But for many, that's easier said than done. If you've had trouble losing weight, don't lose hope. Midi Health uses a deep understanding of women's hormones and a combination of weight loss medications to create a customized plan for each user. Midi Health can help you achieve more effective and sustainable weight loss by addressing hormone imbalances. Midi can also prescribe proven weight loss medications that help you experience reduced appetite and increased feelings of fullness. When paired with hormone optimization, you're not just managing your weight, you're also supporting your body's natural processes, which means you can overcome those weight loss plateaus that in the past have been so difficult to move beyond. So if you're ready to combine the power of hormones with the power of weight loss medications, visit joinmidi.com today. Discover how this innovative approach can lead you to lasting success. That's joinmidi.com.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBnetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Some people play by the rules, but the real game changers break them. I'm Soraya, and on Rule Breakers, we're talking to the risk takers, the rebels, and the ones rewriting the playbook. Follow and listen to Rule Breakers with Soraya on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.